All right. Well, God bless you, and thank you for being so aware of the teaching parameters here of Jackson for reaching out with the information about no audio. Anyway, what I was sharing is we're going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 because I want to look and review these verses again about the return of Jesus Christ. There's just so many things that are going on in our days and in our times and in our world that I think it's always good to be reminded, always good to be refreshed with the knowledge that this isn't all there is. For some people, they're living their lives and they don't have a greater understanding of the hope of the return of Jesus Christ and the times that are coming in the future. And I think that the enemy, our adversary, the devil, he tries to, put a lot of pressure on people and get them down and frustrated and overwhelmed with so many different things of life that it just kind of forces and causes us to not stay focused on the blessings of what is coming. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, we're going to read this section, then we'll go to a section in 1 Corinthians. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, when you talk about sleep here in verse 13, basically what that's doing is that's referring to people who have passed away. They have died. The Bible refers to them as being asleep in Christ. And so that's why many times when we talk about a brother or sister, we say that they have fallen asleep, because technically that is what the Bible says about it. And it says, so this is addressing that particular issue, and God is saying, I don't want you to be unknowledgeable, to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For those who are living in the moment or just for the moment with no knowledge of a greater eternal reality, this is all they have. So when someone passes away or dies, it's like their world has come to an end. And not that we don't sorrow, it just says we don't sorrow like others that have no hope. And then verse 14 says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." That means those who have already fallen asleep, who were believers, God will bring with him. Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." That word prevent, if you look it up, is the word precede. So those who are still alive, like us right now, if Christ came back, we're not going to precede them which have fallen asleep. And in its simplicity, basically, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive are going to be caught up together with them, which we're going to read about. Great thing to remember. We shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There it is. Verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And what to do? Comfort one another with these words. And boy, I'll tell you, just as we speak these words here tonight, it brings great comfort to my heart. And I trust it does for yours too. Because as life goes on and things go on in life, there are many, many unknown variables that we all contend with at different times. But man, this is something that really keeps us grounded. And this is something we can really make our own and remember that no matter how trying our days are, or even how good our days are, there's a day coming that Jesus Christ will return, and it's going to happen just in a moment of time. It's going to happen so quickly. like it says, in the twinkling of an eye. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll review a section there that maybe you've read or heard before. Sometimes you might go to a memorial service or a funeral, and you might hear these verses read, and sometimes other things that get said, about what happens to people when they die or pass away. But that's the nice thing about having an accurate understanding and knowledge, and really a greater scope of understanding of the scriptures, because we can allow the scriptures to speak for themselves. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, wonderful verses of scripture. Let's look there real quick. 2 Timothy. Colossians, Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Boy, when I read these verses for the first time, I was blown away because I had no idea. And here it is in verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture. And do you know what the word all means? I can hear you saying it through the phone. It means all. You don't need a real great understanding. You don't have to be a Greek scholar. It just says all scripture. And what is the scriptures? Scriptures are what we're looking at here. This writing, all of it is given by inspiration of God. And that is really one word, if you look in the original writings, and it means God breathed. Given by inspiration of God is one word in the original language, and it means God breathed. It says all scripture, God breathed. Yes, there were all sorts of different men that wrote sections of the scripture of the Bible, but God was working with these men to have them to share these particular words. That's what accounts for all the different languages and all the different styles of writing. But ultimately, it was God who worked in these individuals and in these men to write those things that God would have to be recorded. And on top of that, it says the word of God, all scripture is profitable for three things, actually four: doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine, that's how to believe rightly. Or for reproof, kind of to be shown where we're not believing properly. And then for correction, it's like how to get back on the right path. And these things are designed for our instruction in righteousness or in right living. You know what? It's just like practicing anything that you might do, working on a computer, working on your phone, working on a sport. You try to get the right type of training, and then you find out, hey, maybe I'm not doing it properly. And then you find out the proper way to do something. And that becomes a more complete type of instruction so that you can do whatever that task may be right. Think about that and put it in the context of our lives and us living out this word of God. All scripture God breathed, and it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in how to live our lives as spiritual men and women, how to live in the realm of the miraculous. Verse 17 just says, the man of God. Now, let's say that this was just an all-inclusive noun. It of course includes women. That the people of God, the man of God, the woman of God may be perfect. Perfect. What does that mean, perfect? It means that you're fully equipped with everything that's necessary to really walk out with all confidence this completeness, this word of God that has been so richly given to you, to myself, that we can be perfected truly furnished, and that's again the word perfected. So the man of God, woman of God may be perfect, truly perfected unto all good works. This word of God is so rich, so alive, so living, that it's going to have tremendous, tremendous profit. All scripture given by inspiration of God. It is profitable. It is profitable. You know, in Isaiah 55, I believe it, or 53, it says that the word of God doesn't come back void. God says it will accomplish that which I please. See, he doesn't ask us to confess all our sins. We couldn't remember them all if we tried. God asks us to simply have a sense of humility and a desire and a willingness to accept this word of God as the will of God, and then allow God to work with us in enabling us to live a life that's far beyond anything that we could have attained on our own. So that's a little brief side note there on 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. This scripture, this word of God, this even the information right now that I'm sharing about the hope, this word of God is profitable. It's so rich. It's so living. You know, in Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, right? And is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. I'm quoting that, but you can read it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It's a beautiful verse. The word of God is quick. It's alive. It's life-giving. It's powerful. See, this is God. He's the creator of the universe. My gosh, look at this world in which we live, the universe, the moon. We're going through this phase right now with the big, huge moon, supermoon. Only occurs, you know, at a very limited amount of time throughout the year where the moon is in orbit and closer to the Earth and this sort of thing. Who could have figured all this stuff out but God, right? God is a lot smarter than us, a lot wiser, a lot bigger, see? So as we humbly submit ourselves before God and willingly accept this word as being the will of God and that it does have profit to it, we're going to be so blessed, so full. Amen? Well, let's look at this section in 1 Corinthians 15 before I forget. I'm getting excited here, aren't I? Well, bless your heart, a lot to be excited about, you know. Verse 51, I love this. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's not like a pretty absolute thing, right? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet's going to sound. You know, how quickly is that going to happen in a moment of time? I mean, I don't know how much of a trumpet we're really going to hear. But the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. For this corruptible, that's this human body, must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But verse 57 and 58, listen to this. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not victims. We are not under any curse. We're not under the law. We are not prisoners. We are victors. We are not victims of anything. We have been liberated. We have been set free. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. This is what Jesus Christ did. This is what he gave his life for, so that men and women like ourselves and others could be free from the sin nature that enslaves people and encases people. This is what this Word of God does. It liberates people so that they can think and decide and walk on their own and even realize they have a free will. But thanks be to God. Thank you, God. He gives us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we get the victory. He's the one who paid the price, right? He's the one who gave his life on Calvary. He's the one that was buried 3 days, three nights. He's the one that arose from the grave, right? And he was alive on this earth for a period of time. Then he ascended. Then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given. They manifested it by speaking in tongues, see? That's proof positive in the senses world that God raised Jesus Christ and that you're born again and that all hell can't stop you from going to heaven. You're going. You got your ticket punched, okay? When you accept Jesus as Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, that's it. Your deal was sealed and stamped with God's approval. Verse 58 to close. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How about that for words of encouragement? God's just telling us, hey guys, be steadfast. Hang in there. Have your feet cemented on solid ground. Remind you of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brother, stand. Stand firmly. That's unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Whatever the Lord has called you to do, I don't know what that is. See? Maybe it's a daily thing that you have to kind of walk in the process of that happening. But we have to realize and we can be confident that whatever it is that that prophet is showing forth, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. And if we don't know what to do, guess what? We talk to God. We ask him. And we simply submit our will to the Father in light of our service to one another and to this world in which we live. So thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we're so blessed, so thankful for this wonderful Word of God that we can be so enlightened, so energized, so strengthened, Father, that it's just beyond our human ability and strength. I wish sometimes we could work up this kind of energy, but in ourselves, we just don't have it. But thank you, Lord, that you've given us the victory in Christ and that he paid the perfect price for us. And that we know one day he's coming back to gather the church together. And we pray in Christ's name,